preach except they be sent. And then he quotes another great Old Testament passage. How beautiful in verse 15 are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, Jesus offers peace. He offers good things. He offers forgiveness and acceptance. He offers heaven and eternity. The Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's where we want to be. This is good stuff. He gives you peace now, and He gives you blessing beyond your imagination in the eternity. He says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You know what this is? He's saying this is how it gets exposed. You go tell somebody. And he says of the Jews, he says in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now the word obeyed, I gave you this word last week quickly at the end, but the word obeyed literally means to listen under. To listen under. It's hupa kuo. Hypodermic. You get that little hypo down underneath the skin? Well, this is hupo and akuo, like acuteness. You know, you get down in there on acuity of understanding and speech. He says you need to listen under. What are you listening under? You're listening under all the clues. Not all of them were obedient. Not all of them were willing to submit themselves and arrange themselves under the righteousness of God. He says, but not all of them were obedient. And the Bible goes on to say, they weren't obedient. They did not all obey the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Obedience is being convinced. And you cannot be convinced until you lean in and ask the hard questions and ask Him and press God's word hard. Say, is it true? That's why I gave you 1 John 1:9 this morning. You're going to need that verse. I appreciate Lisa. I was talking to her at her house about a month ago and sharing Christ with her, and she got saved. And I talked through her some of the assurance verses, and I got her 1 John 1:9. She said, oh, I need that one. I said, me too. I need that one. And you need that one. Because the problem is, beloved, what we do is we do what we did in the beginning. When you were a little child, your face betrayed everything you were thinking. Well, do you remember that? You guys have kids? Those kids, they look up, I didn't do it. Oh! They're screaming, I did it! And they're saying, I didn't do it. Pretty soon, I told these teenagers all week, I said, you know, you're pretty good at it now. You can lie and nobody even know. Because you've laid down, you've said, that lie works for me. And you know what happens? As a believer, we get saved, we get a new conscience and a new heart, and we're pure with God, and God's made us white as snow. And then we decide we're not going to live by that standard anymore because we think, I've sinned, I've messed up, I've tried this, it's hard. And eventually we find ourselves laying down, and we say, you know what? Whatever. Yeah, I'll play the game, I'll go to church, I'll shake hands, I'll make nice, and I'll smile, but I don't really know about this thing called loving God because, you know, it's like looking at one of those stereograms. I just don't get it. I'm giving it to you. If you'll confess your sins, He's faithful to forgive him right now. And He's just to do it still, just like He was the day you asked Him. And the moment that you confess, He brings you right back into His perfect fellowship. And that takes faith to accept and understand. And when you press God's word hard, you understand Jesus knew who you were before you were ever born. He knows how messed up you are and I am. He knows we're like epileptics. We'll have a seizure of sin once in a while, and he understood that. He took it into account. He said, they're not going to be perfect, so I got to do a perfect work. But who hath believed our report? And that's just one verse out of the whole of Isaiah 53, right? That's where it talks about Him being wounded for our transgressions. It's talking all about Jesus. He'll grow up amongst them as a root out of a dry ground. And it talks about how He'll have no form nor comeliness, that we should desire Him. He'll be stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, and everybody will esteem Him as a castaway. He says it was right on your mouth. He didn't even have to go into it because these people knew those verses. And you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And everlasting life is simply this, John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Oh, beloved, we are living on glory ground, on clarity ground. Yes, we walk by faith because we, having not seen Him, yet love Him. But one day we will know even as we are known. We see now as through a glass darkly, and as we see through a glass darkly, we are changed into that image. The problem is we're not changing because we quit looking through the glass. Because we do what we did as a child. We lay down and we say, I can't get it. So we start lying. And that's the hypocrisy that will sabotage any witness you ever had. Do you know what Jesus wants from you and me? He wants us to be all about Him. That's what He wants. That's why this book is so important. That's why His Holy Spirit was given to us. He didn't give us His Holy Spirit just to be our companion. We say, hey, what's up? He gave us His Spirit so that the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts and we begin to look at people with spirit eyes, and the love of God could throb in our hearts for those people, and we'd throw ourselves under the bus. Like Paul said, I could wish myself to be accursed for my brethren in Israel. Like no, Moses said, blot me out of your book, just don't take them. That's touching the cusp of it. It's all about God. It's a rescue mission. And if we're not engaged in it, then we're not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, into that glory ground. And when you got a good thing, you want to tell somebody. Our problem is we got a lot of other good things we want to talk about. We can talk about my stronger arms and my better hitting this year in softball. I'd love to tell you about that. Y'all want to see me after, I'll tell you how it's hitting better this year. We can talk about anything that are our achievements. The new car, the new house, the new things. We're all lit up about them. But as believers, we're a little embarrassed by them because it's like, yeah, I got all this stuff. I'm really living large. This is great. But what's happening is sometimes they're squeezing God out. And we know we should be better. He says that they heard, but they weren't obedient. They weren't listening under. And so when He arrived, they missed Him. And then in verse 18, He says, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went forth into all the earth. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about Psalm 19. Remember it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork day unto day, uttereth they their speech. There is no language or voice in which they're not heard, God says. And then in the fourth verse, He says, for their line hath gone out into all the earth. Even the Jews had creation. And they should have heard it just there. But Isaiah said it. And in verse 19, He says, did they not know? He says, Moses said, I'm going to provoke you with the people who are not my people. And other people who have a different language than you. They knew out of Deuteronomy 30. He said they knew that they were going to blow it. And some of them needed to realize, listen gang, you and I live in the Laodicean age. We're here. We are here. And it's all about me in the Laodicean age. You know what Laodicea means? It means the people rule. It's all about me. I'll tell God how it is and let Him get back to me. You know what God says? God says, it's not about you. And He says, as a church, as far as the church age is concerned, the church of Laodicea, the entire church, He says, you're neither hot nor cold, so because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You know what that means? That means when the rapture comes, only a remnant are going. And the whole thing called the church across the world, many of them are going to be spit right into tribulation because they were never saved. Because they saw my profession, and they superimposed that on their own lives, and they were saved by me and not saved by Jesus if I'm not living for God. What I'm saying is this. When we win somebody to Christ, it's important we be in church. Can I get a witness? It's true, isn't it? I've had people show up here who've been born again on a Wednesday night, and none of us are here. Two or three. Five or six, seven or eight. Somebody has said that Wednesday night shows us how popular Jesus is. Now, I'm not trying to hammer you. I'm just saying, listen, guys. The Laodicean church is saying, God, I'm going to get back to you. Now, I know that we all need to learn more about God. I know I need to. And thank you for letting me do that by my studying and bringing the Word. But I'm here on Wednesday full, man. I got stuff going on in my heart that just thrills me. And we're not hearing it. And we're not growing. Faith comes through hearing and hearing the Word of God. How do you get more reckless to go do something for God? You get God's Word in your core. Verse 19 says, Did they not know? He says, I told them through Moses, he says. And he says, and Isaiah was very bold in verse 20. He said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Back in chapter 9 is where he said that the Gentiles who did not seek after righteousness attained it. And the Jews who sought it diligently missed it. Because they did not seek it by faith. He says, but to Israel, he says this, verse 21. All day long I have stretched out my hands unto a disobedient. That means an impersuasible people. And a gainsaying people, a contrary people. The one means that they are impersuasible. They say, I will not be persuaded that it's any different than it is. I got to ask you this morning, are you satisfied with your faith? Are you happy with the way things are going? Or have you kind of gone up like a comet that just flew through and all of a sudden you found out, you know, I just don't want to pay the price anymore, and you kind of leveled out and now you're playing the game. You're just standing there beating your foot and you're just tapping your fingers and you're saying amen to everybody else who's doing something, but you know what? It's not about everybody else. As long as you got breath and life, you know what? God wants to use you. He really does. He said that He wants us to go forth and bear fruit, and those that bear fruit, He will prune, and then He will help them bear more fruit. And you got in the pruning situation, and you said, I don't like pruning. But He says, I'm going to prune them, I'm going to bring forth more fruit, and then God is glorified when we bring forth much fruit, right? That's all there. God wants us to be fruitful. But we say, no, I'm content. I'm going to tell God. Laodicean, don't let the world's variety of Christendom, you know, snow you, because really it's a remnant. And only a few, he said, will hear. And he's going to talk about it in the next chapter. He said Elijah thought nobody was believing right. And God said, I've reserved 7,000. 7,000 out of millions in Israel, only 7,000 were saved. Beloved, what is it today? Do you really think everybody who says I'm a Christian is a Christian? This book tells us otherwise. The essence of our faith is this, that if you will confess with your mouth that He is God, and if you will believe in your heart that the Father has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And you rest in that knowledge. And when you understand what it means, you will be believing unto righteousness. You'll be in that righteousness ground. And when you're living in righteousness ground, it'll change what you have to talk about. Because you'll be all about Jesus. Are you today? Would you bow with me for a moment? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are you about Him today?